Namaskar.
Bienvenue.
I'm from Bangalore, India.
Dublin, Ireland.
Turkey.
The Philippines.
This is Feet in Tours.
I came here to study.
To work. To volunteer.
Build a life of my own.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
Esto es Con los Pies en Dos Mundos.
Bir ayağım burada, bir ayağım orada yaşıyorum.
Welcome to Feet in Two Worlds.
It's erotic, sensual, and provocative. South Asian women are taking to the stage and publicly talking about their sexuality in a show called Yoni Ki Bat.
It was finally my turn. I looked straight at Posh Auntie, leaned in for effect, and spoke carefully as if meeting out grams of gold. Are you talking about sex? Why my mother had to slap me then, I still am not sure.
I'm Ashwini Anbarajan, a reporter for Feet in Two Worlds. Inspired by Eve Ensler's vagina monologues, Yoni Ki Bat is a grassroots movement of South Asian women writing and performing stories about their relationships with sexuality, their bodies, their culture, and their lives. Today we're joined by Vandana Makar, who has helped write and produce Yoni Ki Bat performances for the past 8 years out of San Francisco. Hi, Vandana. Thanks for coming on the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
Hi, thanks a lot for having me.
Vandana, can you define Yoni Ki Bat for us?
Well, the literal translation of Yoni Ki Bat, it's open to a little interpretation, but we translate it as talks of the vagina. So as you mentioned, we were inspired by Eve Ensler's vagina monologues, and so we kind of wanted to play off of that title a little bit.
Most of our audience is not aware of what Yoni Ki Bat means or what these performances really entail. Some of them may have seen the vagina monologue. So I think it would be great if we actually could hear some examples of some of the stories that the South Asian women are telling. My personal favorite, I would say, was reading the one about how my yoni smells like curry, and a young woman worried that because her mother cooks such spicy food when she has sex with a man, he would not want to go near her because she smells bad and she smells like Indian curry. What are some of your favorite stories that have come out of this over the past 8 years?
I have a lot of favorites. One of our writers and performers shared a piece about skin color and how in the South Asian community, there seems to be this fascination with being fair. And she kind of broke down that stereotype and where does it come from, that fair equals lovely. I mean, as you probably know, there's even a cream called Fair and Lovely that is aimed at getting women to become lighter. And so she kind of talked about why is that and how ridiculous is it? We're supposed to be brown. That's who we are. Another one that I really loved that actually the writer chose to turn it into a novel that's been published was called Superhero. And it was about a girl who around puberty time, she discovered that her back was just covered in hair and she was humiliated because the boy that she had a crush on noticed. So it kind of chronicled her adventures trying to get rid of this stripe, and she called herself Skunk Girl, and that one was really funny, but also, again, something I feel like a lot of us could relate to. A piece that I really loved from a few years back was about a woman, she was trying to conceive a child, and it was just kind of about her struggles. She was in a lesbian relationship, so it was kind of dual struggle of, like, explaining to her family, this is who I am, and I still can be a mother and want to be a mother, but at the same time struggling with actually physically becoming one. And that piece just was incredible. It broke my heart.
How are these stories distinct from Eve Ensler's vagina monologues?
Sure. Well, the original text of the stage show, the vagina monologues, the monologues don't change from year to year. There's one specific script, and that's what is generally stuck with whenever different organizations put on the show. And the central theme running through the original is issues of violence, specifically violence towards women. In our show, what we do is we use that as kind of a central jumping off point, but then we really have asked women to take free rein in terms of the types of topics that they want to write about. So the general idea is issues pertaining to women, issues pertaining to women's sexuality. But then I think naturally, because the women who submit to our shows are of South Asian ancestry, the pieces tend to reflect their own experiences, which sometimes and sometimes not are influenced by their cultural upbringing.
Can you describe how the performances work? you're not professional actors per se, but do all the writers perform their own pieces? Do you hold auditions, or how is that set up?
Well, when people submit their work to us, they have the opportunity to either submit it with their name or a pseudonym or anonymously. And they also have the option to then say, I would like to perform this piece, or I would not like to, or I'm not able to perform this piece. So in the case that the writer is not performing their own piece, we then hold auditions for the pieces that are still available. And it varies from year to year. Some years we'll have 2 or 3. Some years we'll have 8 or 9 pieces that are open. So not all of the pieces are performed by the writer, but some of them are.
You mentioned that most of your performers are women of South Asian ancestry. So should we assume that they're all second-generation people? Are there actually some women who were raised in Indian culture and are now taking the freedom that comes from living in the West as an opportunity to talk about their sexuality in this vehicle?
It's a big range. Even from the beginning, it has been mixed between women who are second generation and women who are here first generation. In our last show, I would say it's about 50-50 women from India, Pakistan, Bangladesh, all have South Asian origin, but definitely not limited to second generation, and also not necessarily limited in age range. We've had women who, you know, some of us would consider to be our aunties, all the way down to college students. So it's been a pretty big age range and a pretty big range of experiences as well.
I love this term that you use, auntie, because that's a very culturally relevant term. It's an older woman. It's someone you respect. And it's amazing to me that they're actually performing in these things. I mean, do you invite your parents to these performances? Are there older Indians coming to see it?
Some of our performers and cast members have invited their parents, and specifically their mothers, and they have come and have loved the show. I personally have never invited my mom. I don't think I could. I think I would be too embarrassed. But the last piece that I wrote for the show was about aunties and the negative effects that some of their gossipy ways can have on us. And I think that struck a chord with a lot of members in the audience.
Do you think that time will ever come when something like Yoni Ki Bhat could be accepted by an older generation of Indians like our parents? Or do you think it's just not culturally possible at this moment?
I think it really depends. I mean, I think the term auntie and like even just older generation, there's a wide range of experiences and personalities. And I think that, like I mentioned, a lot of the older women who have come to our show have really enjoyed it. We've never gotten any negative feedback from anybody in terms of like, oh, this is, you know, too much. And why are you girls discussing this? And our last show in San Francisco, the video crew that we had hired was made up mostly of like uncles, actually, like older South Asian men, and they were loving it. They were laughing and they really enjoyed it. So I was surprised by that, but pleasantly surprised.
These stories have a strong eroticism to run through them. Why do you think that is?
Within our culture, sexuality is really something that is not openly discussed. And sometimes that can cause a lot of trauma for women. Sometimes that can cause a lot of hilarity and humor. And so a lot of my favorite stories have kind of resulted out of cultural miscommunication and kind of issues where in one culture something might be valued, whereas in another culture it's not valued. So because it's a topic that has generally been taboo, I think that it's kind of opened up the floodgates, because it's not like just because we don't talk about it, it doesn't happen. And I think that women were, I guess, waiting for the opportunity to really say what they've been through and what was on their mind. Especially in our earlier shows, it was just really like, I've wanted to talk about this, and here's what happened to me.
The idea of this happened to me, I think, is what resonates about this, because the person on the stage is saying this happened to me, but everyone in the audience is responding and saying it could have happened to me too, or it did happen to me too. And that's why I want to go to something much more serious that these stories address, which is the issue of domestic violence in the Indian community. Yoni Ki Bhat seems to really center on this topic and talk about it a lot. What kind of impact has it made, do you think, at all?
Well, I think that one major impact that I mean, I don't know how major, but one impact at least that I've seen and that I'm really proud of is that whether it's the productions here in San Francisco or productions put on by other organizations across the country, the money always has to be donated, a portion of the proceeds, to a domestic violence organization. And so I think just that the concept that this show goes to help specifically people that have been through these horrible situations, I think is really important. And I think, again, this is something that doesn't get discussed enough in our communities, and it does happen. And I think that, again, it provides a platform for people to speak up about what's happened to them, whether it's funny or horrible, as in the case of domestic violence.
Does this have an appeal outside the South Asian community? Have you seen an interest from more mainstream audiences?
We have worked with other, specifically Asian American organizations. We did a show a few years back, I think it was called Eating Tofu, that kind of was a pan-Asian American performance night, and that was really interesting. And I've also had I've gotten some requests from women in Italy and women all over the country kind of to get ideas about how they can put on their own show. I think the idea of putting on something that is culturally specific really intrigues a lot of women.
I'd really like to talk also about its growth and its expansion, because it's grown to be much more than just this performance that comes out of San Francisco. Can you talk about how it's grown through the years and how widespread it is now?
Yeah, it's really amazing to me. Usually what happens is someone will email me and say, hey, can you guys come out to New Jersey, Michigan, Seattle, and perform for us? And unfortunately, none of us are professional performers. We all have day jobs. So we can't really travel around performing as much as that would be amazing. So we just started encouraging women across the country to put on their own productions. And so we share our scripts with them, and then they have the opportunity to either use what we provide or seek submissions from their own communities. So off the top of my head, Rutgers has done it several times. University of Michigan has done it several times. University of Wisconsin. There's a group in Los Angeles, UC Santa Barbara. Seattle does an annual production. So it's really just all over. I'm probably missing a few, but it's really incredible.
How did Eve Ensler react to Yoni Kibot? Does she know about it? Do you have her permission to do this?
Yeah, it's a funny story. So when we came up with the concept, it was three of us, myself, Molly Das, who is the founder of South Asian Sisters, and our friend Sapna Shahani. We were trying to think of what could we do as our first big event, and Sapna said, well, why don't we just do Desi Vagina Monologues? And in her mind, it was like as simple as that. But then, you know, that's a copywritten show. There's protections around it. We can't just steal the idea. So originally, we were trying to contact Eve Ensler's people, and there was a lot of money that her publicity people wanted in exchange for the rights, and we had no money. And then we were just able, like, very luckily, to get in touch with Eve herself. And once we got in touch with Eve herself, I mean, she's just been so gracious and so supportive. We've met with her a couple of times, and she read us pieces that she was working on, and we read her pieces from our show. And a woman who's done so much for women around the world, it just blew my mind that she was so willing to give us this opportunity and to work with us. So she's been super, super supportive, and we love her for it.
That's wonderful. Thank you, Vandana. Thank you so much for participating in the Feet in Two Worlds podcast.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
The producers of this podcast are Jocelyn Gonzalez and Sarah Kate Kramer. Special thanks to the New York Times Radio. Thanks for listening.
Feet in Two Worlds is supported by the New York Community Trust and the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, with additional support from the Mertz Gilmore Foundation and the Cyrus Fund. This program was produced in association with the CUNY Graduate School of Journalism and CUNY TV. Feet in Two Worlds brings the work of immigrant journalists to public radio and the web. We are a project of the Center for New York City Affairs at the New School. Visit our website at news.feetintoworlds.org.